Hello, my imaginary friends, SM2N here. It's the 2nd of February 2016. This is my RPM Challenge 2016 blog entry, audio blog entry, to reflect upon day one of the RPM Challenge in 2016. So this is the second year that I've attempted the RPM Challenge. Having done it last year for the first time, I'm going for it again this year. And so I've spent one evening in the studio, and a lot of setting up and familiarising myself with my setup and the way it's all wired up and all that stuff. I had to adjust the height of my shelves, because some of the devices on the top, particularly the Monotribe, was too high up and difficult to reach, difficult to see. And I realised that I could actually drop all my shelves down and get to a comfortable level. So I've got four shelves in my shelving unit that I use for music. Synthesizers and whatnot. So my bottom shelf, I've got a little MIDI keyboard, a little battery-powered MIDI keyboard that I can basically plug MIDI cable into any of the devices that can accept MIDI. So that's cool. I've got that wired into the Volca keys at the moment. Above the keyboard, which I've got as a horizontal thing, I've then got the Electribe, and I've got that shelf angled nicely. So I've got my Electribe there, and the Electribe's quite wide, so it takes up almost the whole shelf. But there's a little bit of room for the Monotron delay. So I've got the Monotron delay down there next to the Electribe. And then above that, I've got a third shelf. Again, this one's angled, and that one's got all of the Volcas on it, and the Electribe on there as well. Not the Electribe, the Monotribe. they're all about the same size, and they're all on there. And I've got, actually, funny enough, I've got the Yamaha QY8 on there as well, but that's I'm not actually using that at the moment. But that's up there as well because it fits. And then the fourth shelf above that has got a cassette recorder on it. Tape-to-tape cassette recorder, cassette player. And I'm not using that at the moment either, but it's up there out of the way. Those three shelves. So I just dropped them all down a bit, because I realised that the keyboard, the MIDI keyboard, didn't need to be really that high. I could afford to put it down a bit and move everything else down. And that puts the Volcas and the Monotribe in particular within reach. Adjusted the shelves, and the shelves are, completely infinitely adjustable. There's no rungs or sprocket holes, or you just loosen the clamps with a couple of Allen keys, and then you can move the clamp up and down and then tighten it again. Of course, you have to make sure they're level. So I had to get my spirit level out to make sure I got my shelves nice and level. So that was good. I thought, I'll take a little snap of that. That's quite interesting, having the Allen keys in there and the spirit level. With everything in the right place, I just kind of reset all of the devices to sort of have blank settings, and then started to program in little bits of audio. The Volca keys, which is a three-voice paraphonic synthesizer, as I mentioned before, I've plugged it into the MIDI keyboard because I obviously can play more accurately on the MIDI keyboard than the little ribbon keyboard that it has in built. And that's particularly important because I like playing that one live rather than programming in sequences. And then I've got the audio from that feeding into the Electribe, because then I can apply effects to the audio coming in. So I thought, yeah, I'd try that and just put a sort of a reverb and stuff like that on as effects onto the keys, and that gives me some sort of nice pad sounds and things. Which is something that I kind of didn't have before. So that's rather good, actually. It is rather good indeed, being able to take advantage of the effects that the Electribe has to process external audio. So the reason it was particularly good was because so I was able to play the pad keyboard on the Electribe and play one instrument on there by hand at the same time as playing the keyboard to play the Volca keys with another hand. So that was quite nice to be able to play two-handed when I wanted to. So I basically improvised around and programmed in some bits and bobs and got it all mixed into the mixer, and then capturing the sound of that back to my headphones so I can hear everything all together. So I spent most of the evening just improvising audio on there and tuning, experimenting with sounds and things like that, finding a nice lot of sounds that fit together. And then at the end of the evening, I recorded just a take of a song, basically, using all those component parts. And I took out my iPhone and videoed myself recording that same take. So I've now got a video recording and an audio recording of an instrumental that was created on that in that evening, sort of from scratch. So what I don't know is about what's next, what to do next. So the improvisation, it was still quite rough and ready. I could probably, having sort of made an arrangement in that sense, I could go through and repeat that and become more practiced at playing that piece, and be more refined and stuff like that. So that's one thing I could do next. Another thing I could do next is consider lyrics and vocals and stuff, and add it onto it and make it into a song with vocals. I don't know. I could just leave it where it is and say, right, that's that. Put that away. That's a little instrumental. And start something completely new. So I don't know yet. I don't know. I think that's a thought. Should I just leave it where it is, or should I move on to the next thing and then potentially even discard this one completely and not include it on the album, but just treat it as a little warm-up exercise? I don't know. The vocal sample I didn't use at all in this little recording. So again, I want to know, thinking about what samples to build to load onto that device to incorporate into the performance. And then the other thing I'm thinking about is, well, actually, I could just re-record all of the individual component parts as individual performances with a click track, and then and then do the arrangement on the computer rather than doing it live. And that's, so that's another option, really. Give me a lot more control over... control's not the right word. More ability to adjust things post-recording, if they're all on individual tracks and all individually recorded. So there's a few different things I could do next with it, or moving on and doing something else. So yes, interesting. Lots of possibilities if you know where to take them. Thanks for listening. Toodle-boo.